Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. It's a Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Going hour number two on Wednesdays right here. It's Kevin Hagan, presented by soulstreetcoffee.com. Delicious coffee and tea. Order off that site, you'll be happy you did. Kevin, how you feeling, sir? Kevin, we got you now. Sorry about that. Kevin, how you doing? How you feeling?
Much better. I want to start off by thanking all the very many listeners for their prayers last week, and all the listeners who contacted me with their well wishes. A big shout out to my buddy Aliquippa Bob, who checked on me more than once, and I really appreciate it. It was a bad week, but we got a good report yesterday. We seem to have the infection in my elbow under control, so it's a lot better than it looked last week. But I thank everybody for their well wishes. It meant a lot, and I hated to miss last week.
Very good news there, Kevin. Glad to hear that. Alabama football, we'll get to the Tennessee game here in a second, but to date, now that we're halfway in approximately, where are you pleased and where are you concerned?
Obviously, you're pleased with the offense. I would give Steve Sarkisian an A++ for the first half of the season and how he's handled the offense as the offensive coordinator. I love his game plans. I love how he's utilizing the deep and talented wide receiving core. Just can't say enough great accolades about Steve Sarkisian. I'm on the complete opposite end with the Alabama defense and with defensive coordinator Pete Golding, who I'm completely ready to get rid of. To the point that I think we should call Oklahoma and say he's the player to be named later, in the Jalen Hurts deal. This defense continues to struggle. Yes, Terrell Lewis was able to get a lot of pressure on Saturday. He kind of abused Aggie right tackle Carson Green. But, I mean, the first drive, I mean, the whiffing of missed tackles, this defense just seems to me to be, continues to underperform. There's been some mind-numbing substitutions on the defense. And as a very good friend of mine who's very connected in the program, we talked Monday night, pointed out, yes, we're dealing with playing multiple true freshmen. But as he pointed out, and I'd forgot about, you go back to that 2008 defense, Saban's second year, the first year that it was really the Nick Saban team, that team who went all the way and lost the SEC championship to Florida, they had significant playing time by three true freshmen on that defense. You had Dante Hightower, Mark Barron, and Courtney Upshaw as true freshmen were significant parts of that defense. So the freshman argument's kind of beginning to rain a little bit hollow. And a lot of fans ask me, is this defense going to be something that they can turn around? And my question is, I hope, but I don't think they're going to fix all of the issues. I mean, the glaring missed tackles are something you just don't see with a Nick Saban defense. And it, for me, being a defensive guy, Bill, it's very alarming.
Well, Ole Miss and the Aggies' offense to Alabama's defense had quite a bit of success, didn't they?
They did. I mean, and the other frustrating thing is, and if you look at some of the numbers, and you can get lost in numbers, and I love numbers and I love data, but I mean, the reality is Alabama's faced, one offense that's a top 50 offense, and that was the Ole Miss Rebels, and I think they're, 45th, 46th. So, I mean, not to be offensive to any of the teams we play, but it's not like we've played any of the elite high-powered offenses. They did a little better job of getting off the field against A&M, but, still a lot of, out there for a lot of snaps. Thank goodness it wasn't in the 80s again. But, like I said, I mean, it was a bright spot to see Terrell Lewis put some pressure on A&M, but, schemes aside and all of that and Pete Golding, the bottom line is it doesn't get any more fundamental on a defense than being able to tackle somebody. And when you can't consistently tackle people in space and you take bad angles, that's just a prescription for disaster. And, you look ahead, is it going to matter in some of these games? Of course not. Tennessee, Arkansas, no offense, by Mississippi State, certainly a Western Carolina game. But if you look ahead to games like LSU and Auburn, I mean, you have to do things like tackle people in space, Bill.
Coming up, and Alabama is basically limitless when it comes to wide receiver numbers. They can come at you in so many ways, and they're all fantastic playmakers. But Devontae Smith will sit out the first half of the Tennessee game, correct?
He will, Bill, and that's the other point along my frustration, continued frustration with the defense. This is becoming, in my opinion, the most undisciplined team that we have seen from Nick Saban. I mean, once again, Saturday, 11 penalties, 91 yards, and, Devontae Smith, getting suckered into swing, taking a swing at the Texas A&M player on Alabama's last drive in a game you've got in total command. I mean, that's just the height of stupidity, in my opinion. I mean, he could have broke his hand hitting if he hit his face mask. I mean, but that lack of, and let's be honest, Devontae Smith has had a phenomenal first half of the season, but you have to be disciplined. You can't allow people to get under your skin. And these penalties, Bill, that's just another thing. When you get into a game with an elite team, and there are some elite teams, down the road, you can't do dumb things like have 10, 11 penalties, and most of them because you shut your brain off. That the lack of discipline of this team, to me, Bill, is beyond alarming, and a lot of people close to the program feel the same way. It's very un-Nick Saban-like Alabama team.
Kevin Hagan with us, SoulStreetCoffee.com. Go to that site and look at the variety of flavors. You're going to love what you see there. Order off that site. You'll be very happy you did. Offensive line, though, looks like they're starting to get somewhat cohesive. And Najee Harris, who's been knocked historically at Alabama for not being a tough guy, looks like he's got a bit of an angry streak going here, which is good.
Absolutely, Bill. Landon Dickerson slid in and started at the center position, filling in for Owens on Saturday. And that offensive line of across the board, left to right, of Leatherwood, Neal, Landon Dickerson, Deontay Brown, and Jedrick Wills, I think that's Alabama's best five up front. We had to wait for Deontay Brown to get his four-game suspension out of the way. And I will be very shocked moving forward if that's not the line that Kyle Flood sticks with. I will be very disappointed if they put Owens back in there and move Landon Dickerson. I thought he did really well at the center position, very physical. And you're exactly right about Najee Harris. If you remember the week of the Southern Miss game, I talked about the fact that the coaches challenged Najee Harris to step up his game and start performing and to quit stutter-stepping in the hole and to run with anger, I think is the best word. And he's responded and done that Saturday. He had 20 carries for 114 yards. He had, five carries for over 10 yards, including a 25-yarder. He's running with authority. And Brian Robinson as well. He had 10 carries for 51 yards on Saturday in College Station. And he was running with authority. So that's something Alabama's going to have to do. Granted, Tua Tagovailoa is playing extremely well, deep and talented wide receiving core. But as we move forward and get into some of these what I call big boy football games, it's going to be imperative that Alabama is able to be balanced and that they're going to be able to run for the tough yards when they need it. And it appears like we're heading in that direction. So that's a positive. Like I say, I mean, on the offensive side of the ball, there's just so many positives, which is great. But that defensive side of the ball is just another story right now.
Steven down in Atlanta says, ask Kevin if one of the problems with the Alabama defense is the lack of them having a four-minute offense, an offense that can grind it out, and instead of scoring so quickly, which is obviously a fantastic thing to be able to do, but can Alabama grind it out and save their defense if need be?
Oh, that's a phenomenally great question, and the answer is yes. And if people remember back late summer in August when I was talking about what the expectations were for this Alabama offense, well, the idea was to utilize that passing game for the first three quarters and then utilize a power running game in the fourth quarter and basically just zap the clock. And they haven't been able to do that because Alabama, up until a couple of weeks ago, has not been able to consistently rush the ball. The positive side that we saw from the offensive line last Saturday, and Najee, like I'm talking about, I think is going to allow Alabama that opportunity in games to be able to put together some more methodical drives and eat clock when Alabama needs to eat clock to help keep that defense off the field. And you never want to, you know, put points on the board. It's great when you can throw the slant and watch one of our talented wide receivers take the ball 78 yards for a touchdown. But this is a great point by Stephen. Alabama's going to have to, like, I'm thinking ahead to the LSU and the Auburn games. They're going to have the ability to have sustained drives, and that's certainly something Steve Sarkisian wants to do. I just think the offensive line's now finally in a position to be able to help Alabama do that.
Couple things that will let you out the door. Tennessee week, and Kevin, in the 90s or whenever, I mean historically 80s, this was always such an exciting week, and it really hasn't been because it's so one-sided and dominated by Alabama. Alabama's, what, a 35-point favorite, whatever the number is, coming up Saturday. Do you find it a little, and I know you speak for Alabama, but in general a little disconcerting that there's not more energy behind this rivalry?
Oh, absolutely, Bill. I've said it before. This is my favorite game. I've been a Bama fan since 78. So to me, the third Saturday in October is sacred. The history of the game, I remember, and I know you do too, Bill, that was usually the game that decided which team was kind of, on the road to the SEC title. Coach Bryant, General Nealon. There's just so much history around the third Saturday in October. Do I enjoy watching Alabama beat Tennessee? Absolutely, but I mean, Alabama's won 12 straight games. They're going for 13, and with a couple of exceptions, they've been lopsided affairs, Bill. So while I'm not saying I ever want to see Tennessee beat Alabama, I would love to see this rivalry become relevant again, because quite honestly, Bill, it hasn't been relevant for quite some time.
No, it really hasn't. Jeff, too, and this will be the final question for you. Ask Kevin if he's got any new injury news on Will Riker.
I've been told, and don't bet your house on this, I've been told that the hope was that Will Riker could return for the Arkansas game, which will be next week. They certainly would love to have him back for LSU. Of course, there's a bye week between Arkansas and LSU, and he could surprise us all and play against Tennessee, but I'm still holding out hoping that we can see Will Riker return for Arkansas. And then, we won't even get into the kicking issues for Alabama, the pathetic punting, and we're just not going to go there, Bill. My blood pressure is high enough as it is.
All right, Kevin, good to have you back, sir.
Hey, everybody, do yourself a favor today. Go to soulstreet.com and order the best coffee on the planet. And as always, have a great day, everybody, and roll tide.
Kevin Hagan, everybody, with us every Wednesday. A wealth of knowledge when it comes to the topic. We have, through the years, with the guests that we have fine-tuned on the show, raise the bar very high. That's another, there's many reasons I don't put a lot of guests on, because I don't want to do that kind of show. But the other thing is with the level of intellect that we have with the few guests that we do have, I don't want to put inferior products on the show. And not many can hold up to the standards of the few that we actually do put on the show. And Kevin is certainly one of them. Absolutely. Very, very good job there, as usual. Okay. Tickets at Primo Seats. That's right. Primo Seats for all of your ticket needs. all these games coming up. Let's say you go in the Happy Valley for that Michigan-Penn State game. PrimoSeats.com. T-Town for the Vols and Tide. PrimoSeats.com. Let's say it's a couple weeks out and, well, not that far, but you get ready because you're really excited about Ohio State, Wisconsin. Or you're looking down a little bit as well, and you're getting pumped about Alabama, LSU. Tickets at Primo Seats. PrimoSeats.com. How about Notre Dame? Not this Saturday, but next Saturday. In Ann Arbor on a Saturday night. That's going to be fun. Yeah. All attention. That's an ABC game. Saturday night game. Michigan hosting Notre Dame. Tickets at Primo Seats. Hey, use the name Bill is King. Take that name. Bill is King. One word. Put that name in the promo code box. That'll get you a discount of approximately 5% off. And don't forget you can get your concert tickets there, too. Concert tickets shopping, PrimoSeats.com. We are coming right back on this Wednesday. Goggin, Cold Hall Studios, Omni, Nashville Hotel.
I want you to listen to what is a very important message from my friends at Shield Law Group and my buddy Bill Kalutis. Your credit report is really important. What if you've been the victim of identity theft, or you have an item on your credit that doesn't even belong to you, or you've been turned down for a mortgage, credit card, car loan, rental housing, job, or insurance? Okay, you get the picture. The credit report is vital. You need it to be the very best it can be. And for a lot of us, we don't even know what our score is. So that's why I bring on ShieldLawGroup.com, my friend Bill Kalutis, and his phone number, 615-742-8020. You know what? It might be the most important phone call you make all day. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis.
Ensworth is a kindergarten through 12th grade co-educational independent school located on two campuses in Nashville, Tennessee. The school incorporates a nurturing community with a challenging program to create a unique, joyful environment where students can develop the intellectual agility, self-confidence, and discipline they need to excel. Visit our website at ensworth.com to learn more.
Hey, what you reading?
It's called The Ledger. There's a great column on the Titans.
So it's a sports publication?
No, not just sports. Like, see here, there's a great cover story on why Middle Tennessee's real estate market is so hot. The Ledger has stories written by some of Nashville's best, most experienced journalists. And you can get all the information on the Mid-State's fast-growing restaurant scene. There's profiles of community leaders and data that helps generate leads for my business.
And sports?
Yes, including UT coverage from Knoxville.
Expensive?
Is free expensive?
Free, huh?
Yeah, grab you one at hundreds of locations and tnledger.com. It's The Ledger. Pick one up today.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Prank Show.
When you talk about sports radio, it's pure. Okay, it's not sound bites. Mr. Franks, man, you do it as good as anybody. So I really appreciate, you know, in my time in Nashville, you watched me grow up. You've helped me grow. Okay, man, you've provided plenty of conversation, you know, man, for us to talk about all things Vanderbilt. I thank you for that. I truly do.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville's Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
He doesn't know everything about college football. Yeah, he does. It's the Bill King Show.
Gotta get Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel. Josh Newberg, top of the hour. We'll go down to Tampa and hang out with Berg a little bit. I just got a text. I'm not going to tell you who this is. This is a Vanderbilt fan who I know. And he says, Bill, I am done with Vanderbilt football. I will not go to another game, at least until next season. That showing against UNLV Saturday was awful. Well, and this is one of the few people that even go to those games anyways. If you saw any of the footage, Vanderbilt Stadium, Dudley Field, Vanderbilt, was not half full. It holds about 40. There were not 20,000 people there. There weren't. That's how bad that is right now. And only seemingly getting worse. Who have we skipped over? You know what? Notre Dame Saturday night had a 20-3 lead on Southern Cal and ended up having to hang on for dear life at the end, 30-27. And a lot of people mad because on that onside kick when Southern Cal was trying to get the ball back late, down three, Brian Kelly was well onto the field adjusting the return team. And no penalties were called. This was a Pac-12 officiating crew, too. Now, you know me, I was pulling for the Irish. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad they didn't throw the penalty. Damn right they didn't throw the penalty. You should have an advantage at home. But, boy, I thought they were playing well. Really solid adjustments on offense by Southern Cal at halftime. And Notre Dame defensively was on their heels a bit. But we'll see if they can win out. Now, I was doing a show with Doug Warren. By the way, Doug Warren's driving down from East Lansing to Tuscaloosa for the Alabama-Tennessee game. He works up in East Lansing in radio. Many of you got to meet him at Commitmas. And he'll be down again this year, December 18th, for Commitmas at the Omni. But he was talking about, hey, Bill, 11-1, Notre Dame gets in. No, I don't think so. A lot of teams would have to lose because I'm going to repeat this, but a lot of people don't think through these arguments. Everybody complains because Notre Dame's not in a league. So why should they be given an advantage not having to play a league championship game like last year, and then they just slide right into the playoffs? Well, it also works against them. I've explained this to you, but I'll repeat it. Not having a league championship game to play at 11-1 hurts them. Yeah, they need another game. And they're not going to have one. They're not in a league. They're not joining a league. They don't need league participation. They don't need the money from a league. They've got their own network, NBC. They don't need any of that. They do not need league affiliation. And they don't give a damn what everybody else thinks about it. Nor do I. So it hurts them in that case. No, I do not think they get in at 11-1 right now. Be a hell of a year for them. Hey, Brian Kelly is 26-4 over their last 30 games. That's their best run since the early 90s. They're on a pretty good run right now. Are they good enough to beat an Alabama or a Clemson? No. Or Ohio State? No. Georgia? No. Oklahoma? No, they would not beat Oklahoma. No. I don't think they could stay with LSU right now either. No. LSU way too powerful offensively. Gator Mike has dialed us up. What's up, Mike? How you doing, sir?
Hey, Bill. How you doing? Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I haven't got a chance to call in to give my take on the football game. First off, congrats to LSU. You know, they definitely got that high-powered offense. Defensively, I thought we handled it pretty well. I thought Dan called a good game. I didn't get to hear Dave yet from yesterday to see what he had to say, but you know, I think a big point for us was not having, you know, our two best defensive pass rushers to put a little bit more pressure on Joe Burrow. And so, you know, a couple guys that normally play on the inside, we had to put on the outside and, you know, a little bit of miscommunication on the line and stuff. But, you know, I was really impressed with Kyle Trask, how he played in that road environment. I mean, he just locks in and, you know, Dan calls a good game for him. But, you know, I was really impressed. I mean, like I told a lot of people that didn't see the game was a whole lot closer than the 14-point ending. I thought it was a great Saturday night football game for the SEC for sure.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, I was really building up to that game. It was the biggest SEC game to date this year, and I thought it pretty much lived up to its expectations. People may forget Florida had a 28-21 lead in that game in the third quarter.
Yeah, when they came out in the half and Dan put that drive together and they scored right on that second half possession, you know, I was feeling pretty good. And then, you know, I mean, then again, they marched down and then Kyle just makes that, you know, him or Freddie Swain, one of the two, messed up. And, you know, he makes that pick in the red zone. You know, I still felt okay. But, you know, even if we would have scored that late fourth down one, I mean, we still had to get an onside kick. So, when we definitely went down 14, I wasn't feeling as good just because of time remaining. But, you know, I thought it was a good showing. You know, we didn't get run out of the building and, you know, a hostile environment. I liked our chances this week with South Carolina, definitely going against a third-string quarterback. And then that sets up for an off week to get everybody healthy and get ready for the big match in Jacksonville against Georgia. And, you know, the way they looked and the way they've looked recently, I really like our chances in that game. So, you know, everything's still on the table there for Florida. It was like I told you before, you know, we were playing with house money going into that game since they're a West opponent. So, yeah, we'll see. So I like where we sit right now. So just looking forward to another great day of football. But one quick thing on your love for Notre Dame, since Urban Meyer has retired, can we add a title for you? Can we call you the Pontiff of college football? Can we add that to your resume?
Well, since me and the current Pope don't get along, I don't think that would go over well. I don't think
right,
we could sell it.
I got you. Well, yeah, I just figured since Urban wasn't using it, you know, since he's
yeah.
not a coach, that we may bestow that upon you, Bill.
Be good, Mike. We'll talk to you soon.
Always great to talk to you and Charlie, okay?
Thank you there, Gator Mike.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think I can take on the name the Pontiff, the Pontifical One. Bubby says, Bill, can we give a shout-out to our regional VP, his regional VP, Kevin O'Neill. Now, is that the Kevin O'Neill, the basketball coach? I'm sure it isn't, but we just acknowledged him. Bubby, we just did. Bubby, are you going to get some points for this? I hope you get a little something out of it, right? Hope you get something out of it. Karen. Bill, boo-hoo on Notre Dame that they don't get in at 11-1. That's on them. Well, I told you they don't get in. I told you. Notre Dame doesn't need a league, man. They don't need to be in a conference. It's Notre Dame. All you people that are weak and you just need a league, man. Yeah. Why not go out and do something on your own? Quit mooching off everybody else. That's the way I look at it. Jim Wilco. Now, it's not Jim in Wilco. His name is Jim Wilco. Says the Irish not playing in a conference championship game only hurts Notre Dame if they have a loss. It is a big advantage if they're undefeated. Yes, I explained that. Yeah, it works both ways. If they're undefeated, it is an advantage to be sitting in a hot tub with a nice Cuban cigar and a glass of Chablis while Georgia and Alabama, Wisconsin, and Buckeyes are butting heads. Yeah. Oklahoma, Texas, butting heads. I'm sitting in a hot tub, chilling, while everybody else is out there beating each other up. That is an advantage, but you can't have a loss. And how often are you going to go undefeated? Now, they've done it twice in 6 years. I'm talking about regular season undefeated. Did it in 12, did it last year. But that's still hard to do. If you're Alabama, it's hard to do. If you're Ohio State, it's hard to do. Clemson. Clemson won the whole thing a couple of years ago and lost at home to Pitt. It's hard to go undefeated. I don't care if your schedule is not all that difficult. It's hard to do. You just don't you don't know what you're getting. I mean, ask Georgia. Is there anybody who had the foresight back in the spring or summer looking at Georgia's schedule who said, you know, that South Carolina game might get tough? You see, you saw the outcome there. That totally unpredictable right there. That one right there, that's the biggest. Is there another game, and we've got to get to the bottom of the hour here. Is there another game to date in college football? I'm talking about with name teams. Acknowledged name brands. Is there another game that has completely sidetracked everybody more so than South Carolina winning at Georgia? Got to remember, South Carolina came into that game with three losses. Now, they got a tough schedule, too. But they're going to lose to who have they lost to prior? They lost to North Carolina out of the chute. Not a very good team. They lost to Alabama, and they lost to Missouri, correct? Now, again, nothing to be ashamed of there. I'm just saying those are the losses to go into the Georgia game, but we're going to beat Georgia. At Georgia. That's the biggest what the hell was that game to date, I think. Okay, bottom of the hour coming right back. Goggin Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel.
By now, most of you have figured out James Warren and I went to BGA, class of 1977. He's the owner of Sir Speedy and Barry Hill, and he joins us by phone. James, let's talk a little printing services.
Well, I've been in business for a long time, and I've known that there's all kinds of challenges that everybody has every day. And I will say, now, printing doesn't have to be one of them. You can rely on the pros at Sir Speedy Barry Hill to provide you with print solutions to achieve your goals, whether you need posters, banners, brochures, catalogs, personalized mailers, copying, you name it. We're here to make you look good. So move printing off your plate and onto ours.
Give me the particulars.
You can reach us at 615-832-9511. You can visit us online at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com or email us at print@SirSpeedyMusic.com. We've got you.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Keep a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. A 30% chance of showers for this morning. Cloudy and then becoming sunny in the afternoon with a high of 63. Wind gusts 20 miles an hour. Clear overnight, a low of 42. Sunny on Thursday, tomorrow with a high of 63. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Lori.
Sports Radio WNSR.
The number one college sports show on the planet, The Bill King Show.
Top of the hour. Josh Newberg will be with us. We'll talk state of Florida. I don't know. Gator is the only one doing anything, right? Well, Miami just beat Virginia. Do they? Yeah, you know what? That was a nice win. That was. Virginia was a pretty good football team going into that game. That was a nice W. Give Manny Diaz a little bit of credit, y'all. Now, Florida State, they had to go to Clemson, and, of course, that game was over, about 10 seconds into the game. It was 28-0 before I decided, hey, where's the microwave popcorn at? That was embarrassing. They're not going to do anything to Willie Taggart this year. I don't believe that. I don't believe it. Somebody's got to prove me wrong. I do not believe that. Nope. What you see is what you are stuck with, Knowles. At least for another year, I think. Now, does he get through year three being this poorly coached and their brand looking so embarrassingly bad at times? I wouldn't think so. I don't think he gets past year three, but I do think he gets past year two. Now, there could be a further collapse. Who knows? Who knows? But I don't see it. And it's sad. It's sad. And that's what you get when you have lack of leadership. From the top now, over Willie Taggart. I'm not just laying it on him. We've seen it at Tennessee. We've seen it at Florida State. We can go various places and point it out. And it's always, there's usually a common theme when you see a collapse like this. Now, look, they weren't going to beat Clemson. They didn't have a chance against Clemson. So that wasn't shocking. That outcome is exactly what you thought would happen going into the game. There was not anything surprising that you didn't know could or would happen with Florida State going to that Death Valley, that Howard's Rock Death Valley. Nothing at all. Who are we skipping out on right now? Nebraska has been not one of the more improved teams. And that doesn't look real attractive right now. Back to one of my original concerns. And Scott Frost did a fantastic job at UCF and might turn this thing around eventually for the Big Red in Lincoln. But this speed them up, chuck and duck, smoke and mirrors offense is not culturally what you ought to be doing at Nebraska. You cannot play that style of offense and return to the Charlie McBride black shirt defense. You know when Nebraska's right, and that was quite a long time ago. But during the Dr. Tom era, defensively, the black shirts. That's when you're famous there at Nebraska. See, you're not allowed to, you can't use that term now because they're not anywhere close to that. The black shirts. I remember I interviewed Charlie McBride out in Tempe, Arizona, before his last game. He was retiring. This was slightly over 20 years ago, 1997. It would have been the 98 Fiesta Bowl, but it was the 97 season. And he had announced his retirement, and what a class guy, man. Is Charlie McBride around? I don't even know. I don't know. I know he hasn't really coached since then. He was retiring, had a distinguished career. Famous name, man. Very famous name. You know how back in this area in the South, for example, the last 25 years you had Brother Oliver? That was a big name defensively. Bill Brother Oliver. Mickey Andrews was part of that list. Throw him in there too. I'd say Irk Russell when he was still with Vince Dooley before he became a head coach. Names, big, big names. Your big name coordinators. I'm sure I'm leaving some out. But out in the Midwest, out where Nebraska is, Charlie McBride. Huge. That would be the equivalent. That'd be the equivalent name right now. Charlie McBride. Yeah, I got to sit down and talk to him and interview him back in, what was it? Yeah, it was the 90. What year was that? No, this was, let me take that back. This was the 99 season. So I believe it was the January of 2000 Fiesta Bowl. Frank Solich was the coach. Dr. Tom was gone. Check that, everybody. Check that. Yeah, that would have been, I'd been Frank Solich. Charlie McBride had stayed on and then announced his retirement. He stayed on after Dr. Tom. And you know what? Here's another thing I remember. What was the concern when back when it was December and then it was going to be January 1 of 2000? What was the concern about the internet or the clocks or something? Well, I was thinking we're going to be up in the air flying during this. Not going to bring us down. I remember people were speculating on that. I remember thinking, yeah, it just goes to show, my luck. Be flying as we turn the page into the new millennium. Gator Mike says, Bill, what are your thoughts on Row the Boat? I'm not a big fan of Flex, and right now they're having a hell of a year. And I got fans who send me Minnesota questions all the time. Minnesota fans. So, hey, I'm happy for you. I just think the whole Flex sales pitch thing gets a little old. But he's this year, man, that they look like the team that is the biggest threat in the Big Ten West to Wisconsin. I don't think they're as good as Wisconsin, but to date, you know, they were winning all those games early by a possession or just squeaking by. And they're winning, man. They just blasted Nebraska. So compliment them. This was supposed to be perhaps a year that they were all set up with their roster to make a run of some sort. And right now they're doing it. Soul Street Coffee says, Bill, what about the job Herm Edwards is doing at Arizona State? Much better ROI right now than Jimbo. Well, Herm doesn't have, yeah. Herm's not on the same paycheck that Jimbo's on, but Herm has done a good job about that. I was doubtful on that one, and he has done a very good job. I'm happy for him. He's a tough coach, but I'm just saying he's one of the really good dudes in the business. Herm Edwards. Yeah, they found themselves a coach. Now, again, age-wise, how long is he in this for? I don't know. But they have found a very solidifying head leadership coach out there. Without question. Yeah, row the boat, man. Row the boat. Now, how long? And I haven't looked. I have not gone through Minnesota's future. I'll tell you what, I'll pull that up here in a little bit. Let me pull up their schedule. We'll see. Now, eventually they get – when's the Wisconsin game in the Big Ten West? It's got to be within the next few weeks, or is it later than that? Minnesota does not play Ohio State regular season. I don't think they do. I don't think they do. Let me pull it. I'll tell you what. I know we need to get a break. Let me see if I can make this fast. If it becomes laborious, then I'll take the break and we'll look at it coming back. But let me look through here. There is Minnesota. Minnesota, where are you? All right, let me click on them. Minnesota plays Rutgers this week. On the road at RU in Piscataway. And, all right. Football schedule. Let's see if this pulls up. I know I'm struggling here. I'm struggling. So they start the season. South Dakota State, close game. Fresno State, close game. Almost lost to Georgia Southern, close game. Purdue, 38-31. Illinois, 40-17, then Nebraska, 34-7. Okay, here's the rest. They're undefeated. Okay, they are 6-0. Here is the rest of the way for Minnesota. At Rutgers, okay, W. Maryland at home, W. Penn State, November 9th. Here are the last four games for Minnesota. We're going to find out in the last four what they're about. Penn State at home, at Iowa, at Northwestern, home to Wisconsin. Wisconsin is the last regular season game, November 30th. I should have known that. I don't know what I was thinking. Yeah. Penn State at Iowa at Northwestern Wisconsin. Three losable games. If three games, you'll probably be an underdog in. Down the stretch. Okay, one more break here. Hour number two. Burke's coming up. Hour three. Goggin Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With five centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
This is Jim Renitz, CEO of Innsbank. For over 17 years, Innsbank has been proudly helping Middle Tennessee businesses, people we consider friends. Innsbank is a true local bank built by and for Nashville business leaders, a place where clients' best interests come first, a place where you have access to local decision makers, and a place where you receive the personalized service you deserve. It's because we are a different kind of bank that knows what makes sense for you and your business. Come visit us at our Green Hills or Brentwood office or online at InnsbankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know Innsbank, where genuine matters.
Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Penn Station likes to mix things up. Cold subs for lunch, grilled subs for dinner, wraps and salads for any time. Penn Station's got a variety of delicious extras for everyone in the family. Fresh cut fries, cheese bread, kids' meals, and chocolate chunk cookies. So whether we grill, we fry, or we bake, we like to give you plenty of options. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here's a smart suggestion.
Check out the new and improved WNSR.com.
You're going to have to explain that.
It's the new and improved WNSR.com. With everything a sports fan needs.
We got a whole new attitude.
All the scores. All the highlights. All the updates. All the stories. And even the new website smell. From Nashville Sports Radio.
This is the most important religious event of our time.
You keep saying that, but you don't tell me how.
Log on to the new and improved WNSR.com.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on the Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Ryan Blaney takes home the win after a wild super speedway race from Talladega. Up next, the last chance for drivers to advance is at Kansas. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, this is Ryan Blaney, and you're listening to the Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And check us out at facebook.com/thefinallap. We'd appreciate it. Every single weekday right here.
Call 615-844-5600. Get in on the Bill King Show.
Berg's coming up. Top of the hour, Josh Newberg, 24/7 Sports. Round Man on Twitter. Bill, does it look like Kirby is the defensive coordinator and not Dan Lanning? You know what? I haven't really. When you are from a particular side of the ball, you're either from offense or defense, right? Kirby's a defensive guy. You're always going to have your hands on it somewhat. Maybe more so defensively than offensively, depending on what your background is. But I don't know. Some offensive guys are the head coach and they want to call the plays too. And that's a lot to do. And you have to trust your assistants even more when you do that. But Georgia is plenty good enough on defense right now. They gave up 13 points and lost the ball game. Now, the defense gave up 13 points last Saturday. That's more than enough to get a home W against anybody, any team. Yeah, the problem with Georgia is the offense. They don't look like they've got a go-to guy if Lawrence Cager's injured. Not a dependable in tough times go-to guy. Offensive line is, I would say, a whole lot of heavy breathing and hype. And now they've got ability, but they're not. Let me give you the last couple of offensive lines. Oklahoma's last year, they won the Joe Moore Award. 2 years ago, Notre Dame's offensive line. Georgia's not in that category right now. Now, ability-wise, they are. They don't have a Quentin Nelson. But tackle to tackle, they're big-time names. And they've had an injury or so, but... And Jake Fromm did not have a very good game. That's the first game where I watched Jake Fromm and I thought, wow, this isn't the big Jake I'm used to here. Give South Carolina credit on the flip side of that, too. Noah Kaur, down on the Emerald Coast. Bill, I get morbid satisfaction seeing Rutgers, Maryland, Big Ten expansion crash and burn. Nebraska leaving the Big 12, Bill, is just sad, though. Well, look, Rutgers financially had to do what they had to do. And Rutgers is going to be sharing $50-something million. Well, not sharing the 50. They're going to be getting their $50 million-plus, and it's going to go up a year soon. They don't fully get what the other teams do yet, but they're soon to be there. That's 50, almost 50 more million than they were making with Big East affiliation or whatever. It's terrible. What was their yearly? Probably 3-4 million. Seriously. You go from 3-4 million to 50-something million. But it killed them on the football field in particular. And I don't think that's going to get much better. I don't care who they hire. Shiano gets hired. Did a fantastic job first time. He's not going to do what he did at Rutgers again in the Big Ten. It's not happening. Now, Nebraska. Two things there with Nebraska. Nebraska, A, despises, loathes, cannot stand Texas, one. And remember, when they bailed, there was still that instability in the Big 12. So you can go to the comfort level of the Big Ten with lots of money and unlimited stability, or you can stay down here, let Texas run everything, completely making you mad all the time. Texas rules. That's right. Texas rules. They make the rules. And stay in a league that at the time, now the Big 12 is quite stable right now, really is. That's kind of gone away. All that instability talk and all that expansion stuff, that's gone for now. Now, who knows? Someday, maybe we get another expansion scare. Who knows? We didn't know that was going to hit in 2010 like it did. But, yeah, Nebraska. Nebraska, Nebraska. Larry says, Bill, Minnesota beat Wisconsin last year at Wisconsin 37-15. I know it doesn't guarantee a win, but it makes it also very entertaining. Yeah, that's a good point. Now, Wisconsin last year, not so much. Much better this year, but you could say so is Minnesota. Yep. Hiram says, Bill, whose birthday is today? Third and JV Wavy. That's right. Toiling down there at Arkansas, fooled another head coach into bringing him in as a defensive coordinator savior. Did it again. And there'll be another one. When the Arkansas thing blows up, Somebody will hire Third and Chavy Wave, and they'll say, we just got one of the best defensive coordinators in college football. We are so fortunate. And I'll sit here and giggle while Twitter agrees. While Twitter concurs with, we just got Third and Chavy Wavy. Oh, my gosh. Little do they know. It's sad when people are that fooled, isn't it? It is really sad. Hour three coming up. Berg will be with us. Plenty of hangout time, extemporaneous hangout time, long form. In hour number three after Berg. Omni.